host, Brian Caruan. SheSaidTV.com. We are wrapping up a Packers victory over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Packers win 28-24. Going to be talking a lot about Mike McCarthy's press conference yesterday and a lot of things he spoke about. Some injuries, some performances, good performances by players. And later on, we'll be taking your calls. And as always, we're getting your thoughts on our live blog. Thanks today goes to Alex Talich of Packers Lounge. He's directing our live blog today. You can absolutely tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and they will get through. But your comments are being approved this morning, so thanks to Alex Talich. Getting to today's topics. At today's Packers Daily Links, there's a link to it at the top of the live blog. Looks a little something like this. First story today is about running back Brandon Jackson, and if you click on our top link, it'll take you to an article by Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette. He says head coach Mike McCarthy praised Brandon Jackson for having his best game ever as a member of the Green Bay Packers. If I could just read here briefly from Mr. Copeland's article, it says, quote, Jackson averaged 4.5 yards on 13 carries and continued to thrive in pass protection. With the first quarter winding down, Jackson caught a short pass out of the backfield and raced 36 yards, even running away from some defenders. It was the third longest play from scrimmage of his career. Jackson had a 71-yard run versus Washington 2 weeks ago and a 46-yard run against Detroit in 2007 and showed a gear that had been unseen thus far in 2010. Which, of course, begs the question, if Brandon Jackson is playing the best he has over his career, why is he not getting more carries? And we'll be talking about that heavily here on Railbird Central. Jackson had, I believe, 13 carries on Sunday. I mean, he touched the ball more times with his receptions, which just added to his amazing performance. How he did in the screen game added to how he did overall. And he continues to be great in blitz pickup as a pass blocker. But yes, only 13 carries. And you have to wonder why he isn't getting more. I said it during the postgame show. I can't blame the Packers for going heavily against the pass against the Minnesota Vikings. So, I mean, I can't really blame them for not running all that much this past Sunday. But, I mean, it's a trend now, isn't it? Only 13 carries this week and, like John Rahor says on our live blog, best game ever, and he carried the ball, what, 11 times? I mean, it's like that every week. You know, seems to be about a dozen carries for Brandon Jackson, game in, game out, ever since Ryan Grant went down. And the thing is he's heating up. I'll see maybe if I can pull up here some statistics game by game of Mr. Jackson. But, you know, he is playing fantastic over the past couple weeks. You know, the first couple games of the season when he took over for Ryan Grant, like week two, week three, you know, nothing special was going on then. But really, you know, even in these past losses, while the team has lost, Brandon Jackson's played pretty well. And I think I'm getting a little game-by-game recap here. As we speak, here we go. In the past 3 weeks, week five, a loss to Washington, Brandon Jackson had only 10 carries, but he went for 115 yards. Last week, against the Dolphins, he had a dozen carries for 53 yards for a respectable 4.4 yards a carry. And as I just mentioned, this past win versus the Vikings, 13 carries for 58 yards. Overall, on the season, he's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. That's great. Anytime you average over 4.0 yards a carry, that's great as a starting NFL, any running back in the NFL. Abe Biederman points out on our live blog, John Kuhn got 7 carries as well. And of course, they're going to Kuhn on a lot of, you know, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, things like that. And you have to think that'll continue. And John Kuhn deserves to get a couple carries, no doubt. He hasn't played poorly, and there's been very clutch at times throughout this season. Converted a couple first downs on Sunday. But yeah, does John Kuhn deserve to carry it 7 times a game? And, you know, the Packers went to the well one too many times on Sunday with John Kuhn. You know, it worked for him once. The fullback dive, getting the first down, and then, of course, the Packers stuffed short on 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter. Not working. And not to say Brandon Jackson would have converted that first down. But you just got to think, you know, when is Brandon Jackson going to break, you know, 13 carries? If I go back to his statistics here, if I find him out here. His highest number of carries. Week one, when Ryan Grant got injured, Jackson did carry the ball 18 times. But since then, since week one, his largest number of carries was this past week against the Vikings, 13 carries. When is that going to improve? When is it going to get back to 18? 18 to 20. Especially seeing as they're playing well in the run game. The offensive line's doing their job. And boy, is the offensive line doing well. You can't say a poor thing about nearly anyone on the offensive line this past weekend. Chad Clifton doing a phenomenal job taking care of Jared Allen. On the other side, rookie Brian Bulaga probably having the best game of his young career, handling Ray Edwards. You know, Brian Bulaga struggled a little bit in his first couple starts. Not that Brian Bulaga played poorly, but, you know, he's learning, but he had some mistakes, and absolutely had the best game of his career, young career, the season. Scott Wells certainly got beat a couple times, but I mean, that's going to happen when you're handling the Williams wall on Sunday. You're going to get beat once in a while. But, you know, for as much as he got beat, I mean, he played, you know, and it wasn't that much. I mean, he came back and he was a factor in both the run and the pass game. Josh Sitton, just normally being Josh Sitton. If you read my film review of the game, the draw play was a thing of beauty. Josh Sitton blocking three defenders on one play. And Darren College did a fantastic job, too. Really, in the run game, he was at his best. But, I mean, the Packers didn't give up a sack either all game long. Fantastic, fantastic job by the offensive line. Packer fan John points out the line from the Green Bay Press Gazette film review by Cliff Kristol and Eric Baranchuk. Jackson is like a bad beer. The more you drink, the more you seem to like it. Should be bitter beer, shouldn't it? Not bad beer. Well, I suppose even if you continue to drink bad beer, you'll like it more as you go on, huh? Alex from the Packers Lounge saying, "Where's the bootleg? This is year three of me calling for it." Well, they kind of run the bootleg pass, you know, with Aaron Rodgers giving a little bit of misdirection. And then he was known for, you know, hitting Michael Finley on the bootleg. Not sure if that's what you're referring to. And quit making fun of my coffee cup, all right? It's all I had. Times are tough around here. Nice floral pattern. Leave me alone. In today's Packers Daily Links, if you go down towards the bottom, I'm skipping around today, going out of order. But seeing as we're talking about running backs, I had to bring this up. There was a running back cut in the NFL who's got some potential. And that is James Davis of the Cleveland Browns. And of course, somebody had to mention this. And if you click the link here, it'll take you to an article at the Bleacher Report. Here it is. And the writer, Daniel Wolf, suggests the Packers act now in picking up James Davis. And he says, quote, "Any running back who can keep a talent like Spiller on the bench is worth a shot, especially since current starting running back Brandon Jackson does not seem to be a fit as a starter right now." Well, a couple things. You know, what he's talking about is James Davis was the college teammate of C.J. Spiller. And, you know, it's not so much that he kept Spiller on the bench. You know, I mean, they split carries very heavily at Clemson. You know, if they could have two starters at running back, both of them would have been starters. You just don't have them on the field at the same time. And maybe they should have. And they did at times, I know. But I do take a little bit of offense. Of course, as we've said today, Brandon Jackson seems to be fine as a starter. You know, he's having success, especially these past 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And it seems like the Packers should give him the ball a little bit more. But, I mean, can the Packers afford to get a guy like James Davis? They're going to have to make room for him. They're going to have to make a cut in order to make room for James Davis. Well, you know, I guess you know, this brings into the whole Brady Papenga and Mike Neal, you know, they're being placed on injured reserve, you know, presumably this week. But everybody kind of in the back of their mind is thinking, well, those roster spots are going to Atari Bigby and Al Harris. So, I mean, the Packers could have room for a guy like James Davis. If you want to think of it that way. I'll admit, I haven't watched James Davis since he became a professional. Unless the Packers, I know, played the Browns this preseason, didn't they? Maybe I kind of saw him and didn't even think much of it. You know, I watched him at Clemson, of course. The Thunder and Lightning combination. And he really did a good job and seems to have some potential. Although Cleveland apparently was not very happy with them. Otherwise, they wouldn't let him go. And A. Biederman says, it's not like Dimitri Nance is playing anyway. Very true. They could easily cut Dimitri Nance and not lose a lot. I just found it hilarious this past weekend how they used Dimitri Nance. And I said this in my film review too, but it's like the coaches said, okay, you Dimitri, you can play an offense. You're not going to touch the ball. Every time he came into the game, it was, he was used as a decoy. You know, a couple times he motioned right out of the backfield. And the other couple times he was the tail of the tandem in the I formation with John Kuhn as the fullback. And Kuhn ended up getting the ball in a couple dives. So, no, I mean, you know, Dimitri Nance has been around long enough now where, you know, he could at least know several plays and the Packers could see what they have in him if they wanted to. And it's my contention they don't want to. So they could cut Dimitri Nance. They could just use one of these injured reserve players to pick up a guy like James Davis. Or they could put him on the practice squad, perhaps. Anyhow, it is kind of interesting that this is out there. But, I mean, you got to look at the other side of the coin and say, wow, if the Cleveland Browns didn't want him, you know, why are we? There has to be a reason for this, correct? That's what I'm thinking. And we put on the live blog here a link to an article about James Davis, so go check that out. Packers Lounge Alex says no one is respecting the fake to Lance. No, that's for sure. I mean, once you use him as a decoy once, I mean, he kind of like, and as a defense, you pick up on that awful quick, don't you? So, you know, I mentioned before that the Packers presumably do have some roster room because Mike Neal and Brady Papenga are going on injured reserve. And if we go back to today's Packers Daily Links and just the second article down today from Jason Wilde, VSPN Wisconsin. You click the link, it'll take you to Mr. Wilde's article right here. And he has this to say about those guys going on injured reserve. Says, quote, their injuries could open the roster spots needed to add cornerback Al Harris and safety Atari Bigby to the 53-man roster, where they are activated from the physically unable to perform list, presumably sometime this week. What I'm going to do, if you want, I'm going to open up the phone lines here. If you want to call into the show, the number is area code 646-797-2909. It's up on the screen. Share your thoughts on Brandon Jackson, James Davis, the injuries too, Brady Papinga and Mike Neal, and what the Packers might need to do. So as Mr. Wilde says here, while I'm waiting for any phone calls, you know, he says, you know, they could open the roster spots here for Al Harris and Atari Bigby. And there was I saw a little bit of talk on our live blog, you know, as the show was just starting here at 8 o'clock about Atari Bigby. You know, way back in the beginning of the live blog, GB Slapshot says Pepper is going to steal the job from Big B, and him and Alex were conversing about whether Big B even will, you know, make it back. Some people have their doubts. I think the Packers will activate Big B eventually. I don't know if it'll be this week. I was surprised one of them wasn't activated, him or Harris, for this game against the Vikings. You would have thought, boy, they've been out of action long enough. They're ready to go. And of course, I suppose they're trying to bring him back slowly. You know, they just got to practice for the first time this past week, you know, with pads and things like that. I'm thinking that, you know, Big B will eventually be activated. You know, I think that'll be the move this week. I could certainly be wrong, but I think you're going to see before the week is done, Brady Papinga and Mike Neal officially placed on injured reserve. They haven't been placed there yet. You know, Mike McCarthy just said they were having season-ending surgery. No move has been announced yet. I mean, it could happen any moment. But yes. Segway Pirate gets a little information here from James Davis's Twitter, in which he tweeted, quote, "Finally was granted with my wish." I assume that means James Davis wanted to be released from the Browns, perhaps go somewhere where he would get a little bit of playing time. But anyway, getting back to the topic here, I think those guys will be placed on injured reserve, and they will make room for Harris and Bigby, and you know, hopefully you'll see them this weekend for the first time. And maybe they're brought back slowly. You know, some people point out here, Pepper is playing pretty darn well. There's not a whole lot to say negatively about his game. Yeah, has Charlie Pepper been beat? Absolutely. You know, what he's really brought was, you know, some toughness to the run game. He's been better in the box than any other safety has been for the Green Bay Packers in a long time. He's the kind of guy who's going to come up on those screen passes and make a tackle, not afraid to meet a guy like Adrian Peterson in the hole. Charlie Pepper gambled on the run to Percy Harvin, the touchdown run this past Sunday. He really came up hard, gambled, hit the wrong hole, and of course Harvin went for the touchdown. You know, I think I made a comment somewhere, maybe I didn't. It's plays like that where, you know, safeties are free to gamble. You can, but you better win that bet. and Pepper didn't on the Harvin touchdown run. But that was about it. I mean, Pepper made several nice tackles. There were a couple times, if I remember, Charles Woodson blitzed. Of course, he was in the slot against Harvin. And then a pass went to Harvin, and up came Charlie Pepper to make the tackle. You know, fantastic job. And Packer fan John writes on our live blog, against the Jets, Pepper's run defense will be a necessity. So, yeah, big game this weekend against the Jets. Of course, this is the big weekend for Cheesehead TV. My partners in crime out in New York out there, Aaron Nagler, Corey Behnke, they live in New York City, for those of you that don't know. We kind of, amazing how we keep this place running being worlds apart, but, so yeah, they're out in New York, and they're hosting, you know, just a fantastic opportunity for any East Coast Packer fans this weekend. They got the meetup at the Packers Bar, Kettle of Fish, in New York City, Friday night. Opportunity to view Lombardi on Broadway, Saturday night. Did I get that right? Tweet up Friday night at Kettle of Fish, Lombardi Saturday. And then, of course, the game on Sunday. There's a big tailgate planned. And then, of course, the game itself. Big weekend for Cheesehead TV and Packer fans everywhere. Big game. I mean, meaningful game. Jets playing among the best in the NFL. The Packers are going to really have to bring their A game to beat them. And to tell you the truth, I don't think they can on the road in the Meadowlands. As much as it pains me to say that, and people will cringe when I say that, I don't think the Packers have what it takes to go out there with Mark Sanchez the way he's playing. Just doing fantastic job out there. And LaDainian Tomlinson, boy, has his career been resurrected out in New York, playing well, and Rex Ryan directing the defense as he's always done. Just a stout defense. Wisconsin native Jimmy Leonard out there. But you know, I'm not counting the Packers out by any stretch of the imagination. But they're going to have to bring it. They're going to have to play like they did against the Vikings. And probably better. But it's 8:30. I'm going to take a break here, folks. Going to go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll be talking a little more about Brett Favre, and a little bit more about the injury situation to the Packers, and Favre himself. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV this morning. Railbird Central runs every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 a.m. Lambeau time. Make sure to join us again Friday morning. And we podcast the show too. We have if you don't already, get your subscription on iTunes. Just search Cheesehead TV. It'll come up. And before we get to Brett Favre talk a little bit later on, I want to throw this out, see what sticks. We talked about the injury to Mike Neal in the first segment of the show today. And I'm seeing a couple comments on the live blog from Twitter. Our Corn says Packers have to get TJ Lang off the D-line. You agree? And TJ Lang is just playing out of necessity on the defensive line. If I'm correct, he played 4 snaps. All were in the hippo formation, you know, short yardage in which the Packers employ 4 defensive linemen, you know, the type of plays where you're looking at 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. TJ Lang is not playing a lot. But it's true. It should never have to come to that. It should never have to come to an offensive lineman playing on defense. And here's where I think the Packers might have a little bit of a problem. As good as the young guys played this past week on the defensive line, C.J. Wilson and Jarius Wynn, as well as they tried, and they came up with big plays, Wynn getting the sack of Favre and Wilson getting a couple run stuffs, but that's not all. He put the big hit on Favre on the interception. You know, those guys are like 270, 280 pounds. The Packers, you know, you can afford having those guys on the field in passing situations a lot of times. When they're rushing the passer, a guy like C.J. Wilson, Jarius Wynn, and in the nickel, 270 pounds rushing the passer, seems to be their lighter weight would, you know, make them even more agile, being able to get in the backfield even quicker. Or you can afford to have one of those 270, 280 pound guys in the base defense in the 3-4, you know, as long as 2 other big guys are right next to them. If you got a Cullen Jenkins and a B.J. Raji also on the line. But now, you got Mike Neal out, you got Ryan Pickett out, you got Cullen Jenkins out. The only guy on the defensive line with any size is B.J. Raji. You know, him at, you know, 330 plus. And the Packers don't have any other size. Do the Packers need to make a move in order to just get a little size on the defensive line? You've got Michael Montgomery on the roster, who played last weekend, was active. I mean, just because the Packers had so many injuries. The only time Mike Montgomery saw the field against the Miami Dolphins was in extra point and field goal defense, if I'm correct. I mean, he's not seeing the field. He's not in the depth chart ahead of Jarius Wynn or C.J. Wilson. Why not cut Mike Montgomery and pick up somebody, anybody, who's over 300 pounds and can stuff the run a little bit? I mean, this all goes for naught if Ryan Pickett and Cullen Jenkins come back and are fine. I don't know their status yet. Nobody knows their status yet. But I mean, even so, Michael Montgomery is not adding anything to this team. He can easily be cut. The Packers can sign. Just sign a big body. I don't care who it is. Look on the practice squads of every NFL team and pick the biggest guy. The biggest defensive lineman of the other 31 teams. There's got to be a couple nose tackles out there who are, you know, over 3 bills. And I see the comments on the live blog here. Morley says Wilson was rock solid against the run Sunday. And C.J. Wilson did very good. No doubt about that. He did as well as could be expected from a young guy, from a rookie like that. But no, I'm glad to see somebody else out there is with me on this. I see more comments. Illinois Pack fan, John Rahor, both just saying Mike Montgomery stinks. And Joel Benway says, what other 3-4 had the beef we had to begin with? I'm not exactly sure what that means. I mean, the Packers did have beef up front prior to Neal, Pickett. Who else? Jenkins going down. Justin Harrell going down. Johnny Jolly getting suspended. I mean, those guys were all near 300 pounds at least. So, anyway, that's my rant for today. You know, Mike Montgomery isn't adding to this team. Pick up some rookie out there who's got a little size to him that he can at least play on rundowns, on first downs, on, you know, on third and one and fourth and one goal line. So TJ Lang doesn't have to be out there. You know, get some guy who knows his defense. And kudos to TJ Lang for doing the best he can. TJ Lang actually played defense his freshman year of college at Eastern Michigan. That's why they put him out there. He does have a little bit of experience. Illinois Pack fan says, I know Pittsburgh has a couple of defensive linemen out of the practice squad a few weeks ago. Good. Go look at them. Just pick the biggest guy. The biggest one. The first one you see that's over 300 pounds. Go pick him up. Cut Mike Montgomery. Getting back to today's Packers Daily Links. Taking a look at a fellow blog here. Total Packers. Touches on the fracture that Brett Favre suffered in his ankle. If you click the link about Brett Favre's ankle here, it takes you to Total Packers. There it is right there. Brad Jones rolling up on Brett Favre's ankle. Of Total Packers, Monty McMahon writes, quote, Favre limped around and finished the game, but today it was revealed Favre has a stretch fracture and an avulsion fracture in his heel. Favre wore a walking boot around the Vikings facility Monday, and the injury puts his chances of starting next week in serious jeopardy. So on one hand, you just have the irony that Brett Favre's streak of however many games it is that he started now, 233 is it? I don't know. But his last start comes against the Green Bay Packers. And it very well could be. I mean, if he's got fractures, I mean, number one, he hasn't been playing that well to begin with, and he's not all that mobile. I don't know. And the Vikings, although they're not out of it, you know, I don't know how much Brett Favre is helping him out there right now. But yeah, it's just kind of ironic. His last start could be against the Packers. And by Brad Jones. I kind of wanted to point that article out because just a little promotion here. Brad Jones is our guest on Packer Transplants tonight. Guaranteed. Not like last week when Frank Zombo was supposed to call the show. And those of you that were around after the show, we found out it was our own fault that Frank Zombo didn't call in. We had some technical difficulties. Frank Zombo was not stiffing Cheesehead TV. He wanted to call in, but couldn't. It's way too much detail to go into why that happened. But anyways, yeah, so Brad Jones on the show tonight. We'll have to ask him about the hit he put on Brett Favre and the role he played in possibly ending his consecutive game streak. And we're just assuming, nobody said, Brad Jones is the one who broke Favre's ankle, fractured it. We're just putting two and two together. It was that point in the game where Favre came up a little gimpy and, you know, really couldn't move around, be any more mobile after that point in the game. And it looks like, for all intents and purposes, it was the hit from Brad Jones when he wrapped him up around the ankle, took him down. That, at that point, it happened. If you want to talk about Brett Favre, Brad Jones, Mike Montgomery, feel free to call into the show. Area code 646-797-2909. One more time. 646-797-2909. Taryn for 12 asks, what is more important next week, a win or an injury-free game? Well, they're both important. I don't know if it's you can place any more importance on one than the other. The Packers just snake bitten, as I've said, by injuries. And amazingly, even if the Packers lose against the Jets, they're still not out of it. As you guys probably watched last night's Monday Night Football, you know, they were going through the NFC North standings. You know, the Giants with a win last night are now up there. What are the Giants now? 4-3 on the season. And the best record in the NFC only has two losses. You know, the Packers could sustain another loss here, go to 500 on the season, 4-4, and still be in the thick of things. It's where they were last year, 4-4 at the midway mark. And as Packers Lounge Alex points out, if the Packers win and everyone loses, the Packers conversely will be in amazing shape. And that's very true. How good a shape will the Packers be in if they win? Of course, the NFC North games will be very important later on in the season. Going back to today's Packers Daily Links, once again, wanted to touch on this a little bit over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. An article from Gary D'Amato. Those of you who don't know, Gary D'Amato is taking Greg Bedard's spot at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm inclined to believe that is a short-term fix there at the Journal Sentinel. Gary D'Amato is their, I believe, their golf beat writer. I mean, he's a good journalist all around. He certainly can write about more than golf, don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's the long-term solution there. I think it's just a thing where the Journal Sentinel's trying to get through the rest of the season, and then we'll look for a long-term replacement for Greg Bedard's position, that opening. But anyway, he mentions in his notebook, if you click the link there, about the kick returner. He writes about Pat Lee, and you got to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the article. And special teams coordinator Sean Slocum says Pat Lee will continue to be the kick returner. Slocum says, quote, "Right now I think he's doing a good job adding some juice to the return unit. I like the way he ran the ball into the returns last night. I think he's got ability to make an impact there." And Pat Lee did a very nice job on Sunday. He really just looked slippery. He just took the ball north and south and got what he could. You know, a couple times he was getting out near the 30-yard line. And that's as much as you can ask of any returner. If they can get out there, that's fantastic. You just don't want to see him starting at the 20 all the time. You want to see him getting out beyond that. There were a couple times where Pat Lee, you know, strung the ball out to the outside. And, you know, he was almost running a 100 yards, it seems like. But seeing as they all came east to west, you know, he didn't get far upfield. But at least he strung them out. And even when he did run east-west, you know, it took longer to get there, but the yards came regardless. And it looks like he's the man, just as long as he doesn't fumble the ball now. And that was Jordy Nelson's undoing. Does everyone remember the beginning of the season when Jordy Nelson looked good the first 2 weeks? Jordy Nelson was the Cheesehead TV Special Teams Player of the Week in Week 2. And almost could have been Week 1 as well. So, that is what's going on special teams and the return situation. Jordy Nelson now out of a job, on returns at least. With the injury to Jermichael Finley, Jordy Nelson has played more on offense though as well. And Jordy Nelson had a good game on Sunday against the Vikings. Very good job. Couple comments on the live blog. Pat Lee is going to take one to the house this season, Packer fan John asks. Maybe. The Packers haven't returned a kickoff for over a decade, I think it is, for a score. The last person to do it was Alan Rossum. Was that correct? Been a long time. Illinois Pack fan says, put Underwood on IR and activate Harris this week. Not sure what that means. I don't think Brandon Underwood is hurt, so you can't place him on IR. I don't know if that was supposed to mean Papinga or Mike Neal. I mean, those looked like it could be happening. Here we go. Some statistics here from NBC. Vikings Packers on Sunday Night Football was seen by 25.7 million viewers. Most watched Sunday Night Football game ever. Wow. Hard to believe it beat last season's ratings when Brett Favre was just 1 year removed from being a Green Bay Packer, or, you know, two seasons removed from being a Packer, one from being a Jet. but first time he had faced the Packers. 25.7 million viewers, most watched in Sunday Night Football history. Amazing. I wonder where that puts it on the list of most watched regular season games ever, no matter Sunday Night Football or not, or whatever station it is. That, I mean, it's got to be right up there. Obviously, the Super Bowl gets more viewers, and I'm sure a lot of the playoff games do too. But if it's the most watched Sunday Night Football game ever, it's got to be one of the most watched regular seasons in the history of the NFL. I might even go out on a limb and say that it is. It could be the most watched regular season game ever. Because it's on NBC, it's not like any of the games on cable on ESPN are going to beat that number. Because they're not in nearly as many households. Just one last article to get to today on today's Packers Daily Links. It's kind of appropriate. It sends us into next week here. Again, coming from Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee. Comments coming from head coach Mike McCarthy at his press conference yesterday. If you click this link right here where it says Favre and the Vikings, it'll take you to Mr. Wilde's article. Head coach Mike McCarthy saying, I don't think you run around with your pom-pons this week. But Wilde writes, quote, As McCarthy made very clear, fans can revel in the victory and the ride the roller coaster of emotions from the Packers' back-to-back three-point losses in overtime to Washington and Miami to Sunday night's exorcism of Favre and the Vikings, who swept the Packers last season and had won three straight in the series. But the coach doesn't do that. Head coach Mike McCarthy, very stoic yesterday afternoon. Not reveling in the victory. Not even so much as a smile yesterday from Coach McCarthy. Maybe he did, but certainly letting it be known, focus is on the New York Jets. And that's as it should be. We talked about it earlier. Big game this weekend. If the Packers could beat the Jets, boy, that would just be amazing momentum. We'll just play a little game of make-believe right now. Let's say the Packers beat the Jets this weekend. That would give them two consecutive wins against the Vikings and Jets, build some momentum, and then the Packers have one more game before their bye week, and that's at home against the struggling Dallas Cowboys. You would think if the Packers can beat the Jets, they build that momentum, and they could beat a struggling Cowboys team at home. So that would put them at what? That'd be four, five, six wins. 6-3 heading into the bye week. And then the Packers have the chance to get healthy. Guys like Ryan Pickett and Cullen Jenkins have a chance to get healthy. They got that extra bit of time to rest up, little R&R, going in for the stretch run. And then they come back from the bye week and head into Minnesota. And that'll be a battle once again. No matter if Favre's there or not, just playing on the road is tough in the NFL. As it always is. But anyway, just playing a little game of make-believe right now. Can you imagine 6-3 going into the bye week, getting some rest, finally, this injured team needing all it can get, and just getting ready for a stretch run if the offense can get back on track and really, really be dangerous. That's going to do it here on Railbird Central this morning. Once again, thanks to Alex Talich, our director, on the live blog this morning. We're here every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure to come back tonight. Packer Transplants at 8 p.m. Lambeau time. Your hosts, Corey Banky and Aaron Nagler. They'll have Brad Jones on the show this evening. Going to talk to him about the fracture he put into Brett Favre and possibly stopping his streak. We'll see as the world turns. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you on the flip side. See you later.